Hey, let's pray. Gracious Father, God, we love you. We love you when you make us uncomfortable. We love you when you give us comfort. Father, this morning I pray that you would speak, Lord. Lord, have your will with us. Have your way with us. Lord, give us the courage to respond in obedience to you. Give us the faith to know that you will carry us to the next step. Jesus, specifically, thank you for throwing my sins as far as the east is from the west, bearing the burden of my sins and dying for it. Thank you for dying for the world, Lord, so that we may know you and your Father. I lift this prayer up in your special name. Amen. There's no kids' church, so get comfortable. It's 10:15, I'm already on the stage. Yeah, that doesn't happen. I don't really know what's going on, except for God kind of did this stirring inside of my heart, and he said, you remember, if you're here last week, you kind of know what I'm talking about. But I said, no one really knows what happens until it doesn't happen. Anybody, any moms in here? Nobody knows what mom does until mom doesn't do what mom does. Right? Does that make sense? No one has any idea what goes on because it's from the inside, isn't it? But mom just takes care of it because she sees a need and she does it, right? Guys, we do what we can, right? I got fussed at for putting the dishes in the wrong spot, but I still try to put the dishes away, right? She's standing there, she can't find it. She's even in front of me and I'm telling on myself, but she's just throwing stuff around. Where is this? I don't know, I put it away. Right? We try. How many of you guys watched Alabama play Clemson? Roll Tide, all I got for you. Alabama won that game before they stepped on the field, didn't they? Didn't they win that before they even got there? Because how many practices, how much preparation did they put into that before they even showed up on the field? They had the victory won before the game was played. Did victory won before the game was played. If I invite you guys to my house and I say, hey, come over. We're going to have a steak dinner. All right? What I'm telling you is we're going to have venison. Okay? You need to know that. We're going to have deer steak dinner. All right? So you come over and you sit down on my table and you have this steak in front of you and you cut into it and it is the best steak you ever had. What you don't realize is last Thursday, I am freezing to death in a tree at 5:30 p.m. and I happened to stick one. Also, what I didn't tell you is it's down a 40-foot embankment. I couldn't get it up myself. I had to call for help. Someone had to come help me drag this beast 5 acres because no one hunts on their front property. Up this hill, get it hung up and processed and everything. All you know is the end product, right? You have the steak in front of you and that's all you really care about. You don't know about the work and the preparation that went into it. But there's an appreciation there, isn't there? I'm not trying to brag on myself, but that stunk. That stunk. And if Bobby Knight hadn't come to help me, I'd still be out there dragging that deer. That man's a beast, y'all. But it's different on the inside of a huddle. It's different when you're on the inside. You know, if you're on the bench with the players and you're talking to them back and forth, it's different in there, isn't it? There's a different experience, a different feeling. You know each and every player there. You know their strengths, their weaknesses. They know their jobs, and they do it. But as fans sitting out in the crowd, all we wonder is, how in the world did they miss that shot? How in the world did he not catch that pass? That's absolutely unacceptable. Right? So we put our own views on what we think should happen, don't we? It's human nature. We do that. So you came to church this morning, and usually there's a bunch of chairs set up, and you're like, oh, what happened? Somebody didn't do their job. Right? You're right. Somebody didn't do their job. Actually, it took me longer to take them down to prove the point. I wasn't going to tell you that, but I did, so there it is. It's different on the inside. Most teams will win their games before they even step on the court or on that field because of the preparation that they put into it. All right? It's the things you didn't see that produces the victory that you did. It's the things that you don't see behind the scenes here that produces the product of excellence you see here every Sunday morning. Guys, we are blessed with an amazing praise team, but y'all did good this morning. I'm proud of you. I'm proud because I thought for sure we were going to stand there in silence for a little while, and then finally somebody would, this little light of mine, you know? That's good. Ministry is made by the masses that you can't see. Ministry is made by the masses that you can't see. Open your Bible. We're going to be in John chapter 2. And if you want to title the sermon, it's called New Appreciation. If y'all got a bulletin, you did because the secretary gets paid to do her job. Because you wasn't going to get a bulletin, but she's paid staff, not a volunteer. All right, John chapter 2 is where we're going to be. John chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Okay, 1 through 11. Y'all say there when you're there.
There.
All right. Go ahead and read it.
On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, so the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him.
Thank you, Shirley. This is Jesus' first miracle. He was where? If you were in Bible times and someone said, "Hey, I'm going to go to Cana of Galilee," they'd be like, "What? You're going where?" Okay, this place is so obscure that archaeologists can't even find it. All right, if you were to look on a map, they're not sure where Cana of Galilee is. Okay, it's that small. It's the flashing yellow light with not even a four-way stop kind of city or town or village. All right, that's what I want you to hear. Jesus chose to do his first miracle Cana of Galilee. Cana of Galilee. Let that sink in. God's Son, God incarnate, can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do. He picked a blip on a map to do his first miracle. His first miracle. The very first, like, this revealed him to the world. Why didn't he pick Jerusalem or somewhere big? We'll get there. So, this is supposed to be a wedding, right? This is just a normal, run-of-the-mill wedding. You show up, there's a guy and a girl. They're pretty sure they like each other. They're going to go stand in front of somebody, and they're going to say some vows, and they're going to get married. It's just... Jesus was there, and his disciples, and Jesus' mom, right? And they're there for a celebration, but can I tell you that with expectation, a normal event can turn into a special occasion. With your expectation, a normal event can turn into a special occasion. Write that down. I don't know if I could say it again. Gosh, that's why I record these things, because I have no idea what I say when I get down. It's the Holy Spirit, y'all. And I can tell you he's in here, and I'm tired of quenching him, because he's just going to come out. I'm going to talk a little bit faster. I'm going to get a little bit loud sometimes. And I'm sorry if that offends you, but he's here, and he's alive, and he's well. All right, so supposed to be a wedding, but with expectation can turn any event into a special occasion. This can be just another Sunday. Did you come here expecting to check off something on your list? Did you come here just saying, oh, well, I go to church on Sunday because that's what I did? Or did you come here expecting the Lord to move? Amen. Did you come here expecting the Lord to do a work inside of you, inside of your neighbor, for us, through us? Absolutely. If you didn't, please start expecting that, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I have learned that faith can turn any event into a special occasion. We came here, guys, and there was no one on the stage. And it was a little bit awkward. It was a little bit uncomfortable. But that praise that we did was authentic. It was special. It was interactive. No one was doing it for you. You had to do it. And that's kind of what I'm telling you today, is we have to have this appreciation for the servants. We have to appreciate what God has given us to use for Him. In each other. In each other. Don't come here expecting it to be a regular day. Those days are gone. Come here expecting the Lord to move, because that's what He's doing right now. That's what He's doing in all of us. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." I appreciate the simplicity in things. The wine was gone. She says they have no more wine. She says this to Jesus. And what's he say to her? And I think this is funny, because this is a child talking to his mother. And he says, "Okay, what's that have to do with me?" Right? Okay. I mean, maybe just a little bit disrespectful, but I'm just saying, what's that got to do with me? They have no more wine. So what? There's no chairs sitting out. So what? There's nobody on the stage. So what? Someone else is going to do it, right? That's what Mary thought. Hey, they have no more wine. Do something. That's what she's saying. They have no more wine. And wine's pretty important at weddings. Do something. She's pleading almost with Jesus. And he says, "Woman, why do you concern me?" I love it. I'm never calling my mom woman. But, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not come yet." Can I tell you something that's annoying that Mary did that people do? Can I just be real with you for a second? Mary did this, and y'all do this, and I do this, so just we're all in this one big bubble here. Mary came to him and said, "Hey, here's a problem." But she didn't offer any way to fix the problem, right? You ever had that person come to you, "Hey, this stinks." Okay? That's kind of my pet peeve. Okay, this stinks. How do we make it better? Help me. Don't just point out a problem. Help me be a problem solver, right? Hey, this is not working out well. How can we fix it? How can we make this better? But no, that's not what Mary said. She goes, "They don't have any more wine. This is going to be bad." And she's like, "What's that got to do with me?" You ever feel that way when somebody brings a problem to you? What does it have to do with me? What do you want me to do about it? I got this, 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 and this going on. You think your problem is up here with mine? Jesus knew the burden of all of our sins were going to be put on him at some point. And his mom's worried about wine. Let's see what happened. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." So, she tells him, "Hey, there's no more wine." Jesus says, "I'm not even sure why you're telling me. It's not my time." And she looks at the servants expectantly and says, "Do what he tells you." She had this expectation that Jesus was going to do something. She knew there was a problem and Jesus was going to fix it. She came to the party with an expectation. Do you come here on Sunday mornings with an expectation? Do you go to work Monday morning with an expectation? Because He's not just here. He's everywhere. Expect Him to move in your life through everything. Every single day. Every single minute. I don't just want to hear about the problem. I want to know about your ideas to fix it. Does that make sense? So, his mom says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." We'll look at that in a little bit. Nearby stood 6 stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. 20 to 30 gallons. Can y'all pick that up? I'm not sure I can pick it up empty. Something that can hold 20 to 30 gallons. Well, maybe if it was plastic, I could. But a stone jar that holds 20 to 30 gallons. They're over there. And just sitting there. Nothing's going on with them. Just hanging out. I would tell you that that would be heavy to try to pick up and carry, right? Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then Jesus said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into the wine. He did not realize where it had come from. Though the servants who had drawn the wine, drew the water, knew. See, some people just come to church and they just want to sip on the wine. They don't really care about how it got there, do they? They're just worried about the end product. They just want to taste your wine. That master didn't care how it got to him. Didn't know that was water before they even got there. He didn't care. He just wanted to sip the wine. I would tell you the master in this story is a consumer. He likes to consume things. He doesn't like to really put anything into it. He expects other people to do it for him. Don't be a consumer. That's all I'm going to say about that. Right? I feel like Forrest Gump when I say that. That's all I got to say about that. He didn't care. Some people just want to sip our wine, though, in our lives. You know, everybody just is worried about the end product. They don't care how you got there. They don't care about the sacrifice that you went through to get there. They don't care about the process. But I would tell you that the pain is in the process, and so is the blessing and the glory. Getting there is way better than when you've arrived. It's so much better. Because you appreciate what it took you to get there. Anybody ever struggled with anything in their lives? Okay. You know what I'm talking about. You ever made it through your struggle? Can I tell you you're going to make it through this one? There's somebody in here right now. I don't even know who it is. You're going to make it through. You are. And you look back and you're like, wow. Look at that process. I appreciate my pain. Because if you can't have an appreciation for pain, that cross doesn't make any sense to you. It will not make a lick of sense because you can't appreciate what He did to get there. I want to look at verse 9 real quick. I want to skip down a little bit then. Let's see. And the master of the banquet tasted the water, had been turned to the wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine after. The guests have had too much to drink, but you save the best for last. Someone has told you your best days are over." But you've saved the best for last. Someone has told you, you can't do that anymore. You're not as young as you used to be. You're not as handsome as you used to be. You're not as skinny as you used to be. Whatever. You're not as talented as you used to be. Someone has told you, you're not as good as you used to be. And you think your better days are gone. But I will tell you right now that the best is yet to come. Because Jesus saved the best for last. He saved His very, very best for the last days. And He's coming back in those last days. And if you think He was awesome when we read in the Bible, just watch out. I just can't wait to be sitting on my little farm there, looking out the window, see the white horse. I'm teasing. I'll be hiding with y'all because it's going to be scary. Even when I know what's happening, it's still going to be scary. Isn't it? But I expect that. I expect him to come. I know he said what he's going to do what he's going to do. I know he's going to do what he said he's going to do. I get excited. I'm about to start dancing. Somebody's phone ringing, y'all. I didn't expect that. Let me tell you something. Let me just be really real with you for a second. God's going to pour his glory into your shortage. God will pour his glory into your shortage. If you feel inadequate somewhere, he's going to pour his glory into that. If you feel empty somewhere, he could pour that glory into that. If there's room for his glory, then there is space for him to pour it. Okay? Those jars were just jars. They were just sitting over there on the side until one time he says, go put some water in them. And then what happened? A miracle! Because they were filled with some glory. A miracle happened. See, they're out of wine, but Jesus saves the best for last. Don't think in your life you're out of wine. Don't think you're out of glory. Don't think you're out of His Spirit. You'll never run out. He will always keep filling you back up and filling you back up and filling you back up. Even as your jar starts to get down lower and lower and lower, He will pour in to you. But if you remember several weeks ago, I said, God will not pour into a jar that you refuse to pour out of. If He pours His glory into you and you hold on to it and don't pour it out, He's not going to put any more back in there. Why? Because it'll overflow and go nowhere. It'll just be wasted. Why would God waste His glory on you? He won't. But if you use it, He will pour it into you each and every single time you need it. And when you need to draw on that strength, you need to draw on that power, it'll be there because it's there and He gave it to you and you were available for Him. Is this good? All right. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I might be just a little bit. Might be just a little bit. I would tell you this too. The churches that have the greatest need have the greatest potential. Okay? I heard that at a conference, actually. The churches that have the greatest need have the greatest potential. And I thought, you are absolutely insane, the guy that's saying this. Like, you are in a major metropolitan and you have like 15 different satellite campuses and whatever. But what he meant was, you have the greatest potential to make the impact in your place. His church was in Charlotte, North Carolina, the one that said it. He's not doing much impact here, is he? Except for that's what he told me. And I remember it. So now I'm passing it on to you. The churches with the biggest need are the greatest potential. We have the greatest potential here in our area. The key verse here, this is verse 5, the key verse. Do whatever He tells you. Do whatever He tells you. Do, it's an action. Don't just sit there. Whatever is open-ended. It's not, hey, do this right now. It's do whatever He, hear me, do whatever He, not whatever anyone else. Do whatever He tells you. The you is very important too. Because He's talking to me. He's talking to you. Not anyone else. No one else. Do whatever He tells you. A lot of people come to me and they're like, hey, Pastor, how can I grow exponentially in 2016? Okay, that's a lot. But I'm going to tell you anyway how you can grow exponentially in 2016. Do whatever He tells you. You want exponential growth inside your life this year? Do whatever He tells you. You want exponential growth inside your spiritual life this year? Do whatever He tells you. Simple. Don't do what your neighbor tells you. Do whatever He tells you. This has to be your purpose. This has to be our landing point. This has to be our focus. Do whatever He tells you. He told us to do a couple things, didn't He? He told us to love God. He told us to love our neighbor. He told us to follow His example. And He told us to go spread His word. So that's the vision for our church this year and forever until He changes it. But that's what He's telling us to do. Love, follow, go. All right. I'm not done yet. It's going to be a little bit longer than normal. You can get up, go to the bathroom, do whatever y'all got to do. But I'm on a roll. Holy Spirit's still talking. We're still going to listen, right? Okay. I want to talk about the servants now for a second. They were just there, right? But what were they doing? They were available to be used. Okay? They were there, and there were jars. Now, if there were no jars and no servants, how would that miracle have gone? It would have gone completely different. I'm not saying that He wouldn't have done something. I'm just saying it would have been done differently. But that's not the case. There were jars, and there were people to carry them. There is a need, and there are people to carry the jars. You are a carrier. Say that out loud. Say, I'm a carrier.
I'm a carrier.
But do you believe it?
I do.
You're a carrier. And what you're carrying is important. What you're carrying is important. Are you willing to carry what God has given you, even if you don't comprehend it? Even if you don't understand it? Even if it just bothers you? Even if it scares you? Even if it makes you a little bit upset? Are you willing to carry it? Even if it's heavy, 20 to 30 gallons filled with liquid, and they're carrying it. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to carry a heavy burden for the Lord? Because if not, I don't know, I guess He won't use you. Or maybe He'll use you somewhere else. We have a heavy burden. There are people, hold on, let's look. Yep, 3 seconds just went by. Some unsaved soul just went to hell. Guys, that makes me mad. Like fighting mad. Like I would stand out here and lose my witness and fight somebody over someone else's soul. It makes me that angry. That we have this gift, this Holy Spirit, and we have this knowledge. And people are still dying and going to hell. Because they refuse to accept the gift. I don't know if it's because of the way we carry the gift. I don't know why it is, but it legitimately upsets me. It makes me angry, and I used to have this little guy that lived inside of me. He was a little bitty beast, and when he got mad, there was really no control in him. I got him under control right now. But I want to be a warrior for Christ sometimes. But that's not my calling, is it? See, sometimes we don't want to be the carrier. We want to be the one that sips the wine. We don't want to carry the heavy burden, but we want to be a part of the end product, right? We want to say, hey, those people went to heaven. I went to that church. I helped them get there. I sat next to them in a chair. Look at me. No. Do whatever He tells you. Do whatever He tells you. Let me tell you something else. Don't carry something God didn't conceive. Don't carry something God didn't conceive. Carry Jesus. I can show you in Scripture. Holy Spirit conceived Jesus. Carry Jesus. But don't carry that other stuff around that's not of the Lord. Don't put that in your jar. There's not room for all that glory. Don't put that there. There's not space for that. Don't carry that when you're not meant to. Give it to Him. He said, I will carry you when you are weak. The container was less important than the content. The container was way less important than what was inside. Although, stone jars are probably worth more than water, right? At that point. But not after it was wine. Not after that was 30 gallons of the choice wine. Okay, that jar didn't even matter anymore. It was all about what was inside. Okay, as we're the jars now, I've switched you from carriers to jars. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. What you're carrying is important. What's inside of you is important. Oh, gosh, somebody move my table. I need one of those. I got a big stage, y'all. I can run back and forth. I don't know. Hey, I got another illustration. Les, will you help me with something? All right. Yeah, come on up here, Les. Everybody give Les a hand. He's going to come up to the stage. Could you please tell me point 15 in Luther's 95th theses?
What?
Okay. Martin Luther wrote a thesis of 95 things that the church wasn't doing right. Could you tell me the 15th?
No.
Wow. Really going to need that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Gosh, all right. Go on, sit back down. I'll get it. All Thank right. you.
Yep.
I thought for sure Les would know it. Hey, Les, check underneath the chair next to you. There's probably a white paper underneath the chair next to you. Could you read me number 15 of Luther's 95th theses, please?
This fear or horror is sufficient in itself, to say nothing of other things, to constitute the penalty of purgatory, since it is very near to the horror of despair.
Les didn't know he was going to need that today, but I did, and I put it under there for him. Les had no idea that he was going to come on the stage and I was going to make him look a little bit silly. I would tell you guys that when you're in a situation and you need something, God will give it to you. They were at a wedding. Hey, we ran out of wine. What do? We get what we need, right? He will put in you what you need for every situation. And if you don't have it, you don't need it. If you don't have it, then you don't need it. The insiders, when they sipped the wine, they knew the source, didn't they? They knew the source. Which vessel was Jesus really filling? Was Jesus really filling those jars with wine? Or was he filling the servants with faith? Was he filling the disciples with faith? The people on the inside need to be filled to fill the outside. See, those servants, they were part of the inside. They were the insiders group. They knew. They had special knowledge. They knew the wine that everyone else was tasting was water 5 minutes ago. They knew that. They had this special knowledge about that. But they had to be filled with their faith so that they could fill others with faith. Can you imagine what happened when Jesus left that wedding? And those servants went home? And they told everybody, guys, there's this guy. He was at a wedding. Oh my gosh. He turned 30 gallons of water into wine. First of all, let's go get him, see if he can do it again. And then secondly, right? For servants. And then secondly, he turned water into wine. This is ridiculous. This doesn't happen. He did that. Imagine the faith of these people. You have that faith because you have all witnessed a transformation as crazy as that before in your life or in someone else's life. You have seen it. And you know what Jesus can do when he gets on the inside. If your jar has a lid on it, he can't come in. He can't pour into a jar with a lid. It's not possible. I tried it. Didn't work out well. It just spills around everywhere. It's a waste. Carriers need to be around other carriers. That's why we come together. We need to be around each other. When Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and she went to see Elizabeth, do you guys remember what happened? Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. Do you remember what happened? John was in the belly. He was leaping around. See, because when something that's inside of me gets around what's inside of you, we get pretty excited together, don't we? We start to recognize it with one another. Like, hey, there's another carrier. Mm-hmm. Get excited. Get the fire. I'm really excited. We have to be around each other so we can draw that energy from one another. Also, I would tell you, there was not one servant that carried each jar. Several servants carried one jar. Several servants will carry one burden. Several certain servants will carry His glory. If God can do it in Cana of Galilee, then He can do it in Morrow County, Ohio. He can do it in Mount Gilead. He can do it in Iberia. He can do it in Johnsville. He can do it, but will you carry it? We have different gifts, but we have the same exact glory. And He puts in you what you need when you need it. So fill your jars to the brim and watch the transformation. Put regular OU inside your jar and watch the miraculous change that Jesus Christ can do in your life. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we love You. We thank You for Your miracles. We thank You for Your transformations. We thank You for Your word. God, I pray this morning that You would do a work inside of us. You would do a transformal work, that You would transform us into what You would have us be. God, take regular us and transform us into something miraculous. I praise Your name for all that You've done, and I give You all of the glory because You deserve it. Father, right now we're getting ready to take up an offering, Lord. And I just pray that we give back to You a portion of what You've given to us, Lord. That we understand that You gave to us what we need for Your glory. So I pray, Lord, during our offering that You would bless it. You would bless the givers. You would bless the servants as we faithfully give to You a portion of what You've given to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You do that. So there's no ushers today, so I'm going to ask Matt and Jesse, will you help them? Matt and Jesse are going to pass around a thing here for you. Normally there's a song now, but I'm not done talking, so we'll just keep going. Guys, this morning I want you to see that it takes several servants to carry one burden. It takes all of us working together to have this miraculous transformation for others. It takes us all chipping in. It takes us seeing a need. When someone comes to you and says, "We're out of wine," I hope they say, "We're out of wine, but can you run to the store?" Or, "Hey, I need help taking a Christmas tree down. Will you come and help me?" You know, I hope when someone says, "Hey, there's a need," you'll say, "I can do that. I can fill that." You know, we talked last week about a few of the needs here in the church, and I mean, they were simple. I said, "Hey, if you could stand at a door and say, 'Good morning, welcome to church, hand him a bulletin,' I could use you as a greeter." And then I said, "If you could push the down arrow on a computer, I could use you upstairs." Right? And if those are outside of your capabilities, if you can hold a tray and pass it down an aisle, I can use you. If you can sing, we might be able to use you. If you can play an instrument, we might be able to use you. If you can babysit nursery kids, we might be able to use you. If you can write a card to someone that's sick, we could use you. If you could make an encouraging phone call to someone, I could use you. Everything that I just said is getting taken care of at this time, but there are gaps. Does that make sense? There are times when it's not. So guess who does it? Julie, me, or Charity? Why? Because it has to get done and we see the need. So now you know the need, and I'm asking you, is God putting that on your heart? Can you help us? Can you help us carry these heavy jars? Can you help us carry this burden? It takes a servant's heart. It takes someone that is able to kind of put their own needs aside and to serve others, legitimately serve others. And you guys, we have three elders and myself that's what we do. We try to lead you with a servant's heart. We try to show you how to serve. We're still fallible humans. We're doing the best that we can serving you. We're doing the best that we can leading a flock, because we're chasing after the true shepherd. We're getting ready to take communion together this morning. And so there was no devotions or nothing like that. So here's my devotion. Jesus Christ saw a need. The need was for you to go to heaven. The need was for us to be able to have an authentic relationship with the Father, His Father. So He did something about it. He volunteered to take our sins, bear them on a cross, die, and be resurrected. He did that with you in mind, not anyone else. Well, maybe everyone else. But I want you to hear this specifically. This is for you. He did that for you. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, He did that for your kids. And if that still doesn't mean anything, He did it for your grandchildren. And He did it for your parents. And He did it for your brother. And He did it for your sister. He did it for your neighbor. He did it for everyone. All of us. And all we have to do is accept it. And we're going to come to His table. We're going to sit around just like His disciples did. And we're going to partake in the elements. We're going to take the bread. And we're going to take the juice. We're not Catholic. You don't get wine. You're supposed to laugh. But these are representations of the sacrifice that was made for us. I want you to really let that sink in. As you hold that bread, think about that being His body breaking for you. And as you drink that cup, think about the cup that He had to carry to bear for us, for our sins. All right, so I'm going to have the guys pass it around. And then we'll hold the elements and take them together as a family. Matthew 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks and broke it. He gave thanks for the pain he was about to go through and broke it. He said, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let me pray with you one more time, okay? Father, we thank you for being an example for us. We thank you for just showing us a new appreciation, Lord. God, I appreciate everything that you've done, not just for me, for my family or my church, but for your people. Lord, I pray that you would give us a new spirit of appreciation, that we would appreciate each other and you more. And this is Jesus' name I pray. Amen.